dogmen, werewolves, wolfmen, and other cantankerous, carnivorous canids. Dog days of August. Every weekend in August, we'll have scary stories about dogmen. Then, in September, we've got a month of back-to-school horror stories followed by 5 episodes of Halloween Tales and Legends in October. Sit back, turn out the lights, and get ready for scary stories.
Welcome to Scary Stories, the channel that tells you scary stories.
Scary Stories by Peter Bernard. Number 1.
Werewolf in the Warehouse, as told to Peter Bernard, read by P.Q. Ribber. When I was a kid, my father co-managed warehouses in the meatpacking district of Manhattan. This was the late 60s and early 70s, but the area was already in decline, and my father told me never to visit the neighborhood after dark. Now it's an expensive place to live or work, with dance clubs and TV network headquarters filling the former warehouses. But this is a story my father told me about the area before the spotlight shone on it, back when it was a neighborhood hidden in shadows. Now, my father was a very serious man. I'm not telling you, I'm certain that what I'm about to tell you is true, other than the part at the very end, but I know that it was true to my father, because I saw the look in his eyes when he told it. I, myself, was not there, so this is just me recounting hearsay. But it's an interesting story about those times either way, so here goes. One night, my father came home in a worse mood than usual. Instead of arguing with him like always, Mom seemed genuinely concerned about what was going on with Dad. Needless to say, that made me and my brother concerned as well. We gathered around him to ask what was the problem and if there was a way we could help. Dad was a hard man, but this moved him, and he got teary-eyed, and he told us we wouldn't believe him anyway. That made Mom wince, but made me and my brother want to hear the story 20 times more. He resisted for a while, so we got him a beer from the fridge, and soon enough he relaxed enough to agree to let us in on his troubles at work. It seemed there was a werewolf living in his new warehouse. You can laugh. My mother certainly did. I think my reaction was to shout, "Boss!" while my brother just gasped in awe. "What does that mean? He's living in your warehouse, Dad?" I asked. "Well," he began, "you know, we just bought that abandoned warehouse next door to us, and I hired a crew to clean it out and get it up to code for us to use. There are these rooms upstairs in the warehouse that must have served a use in years past, but my partner and I have no use for them. Today, one of the men smelt something bad coming from there, and when he investigated, he got attacked by what he called a wolfman. He said it was Lon Chaney. It was a hairy man with fangs. Tore him up pretty badly. I had to send him to the doctor, and I'm not looking forward to paying those bills either." "So what happened after you called the police?" my mother asked, and he glowered at her. "I can handle my own business. I don't need any Gestapo to protect me," he shouted. "So in other words, some hippie is living in your factory, making a bad smell, and you're hoping he'll just go away on his own, is that it?" Mom sneered as she got up and got ready to serve dinner, muttering, "Werewolf, schmerewolf." After Mom left the room, my father continued telling the story to me and my brother, but more softly now. "The crew I hired refuses to go back in there before I clear out what they call the werewolf," he informed us. "So now I'm trying to find a crew to go in and flush out whatever or whoever it is, and to clean up all the smelly dead animal parts in there." "Well, if there's meat in there," I joked, "that can't be a hippie, because they're all Vita vegetarians." Believe it or not, nobody laughed at my joke. I'm not siding with Mom, my brother began. But if you called the cops, they might clean up the mess for you on the taxpayer's dime. Yeah, my father retorted. But once you invite the vampires into your home, you can't blame them for what happens next. Apparently, my father did not trust local law enforcement for some reason. If they see code violations, I offered, couldn't you just say this is why you have men cleaning it up? I mean, they can't fine you for violating code in a warehouse that you aren't ready to open. My father patted my head. Such a boy, he said with a sad smile. Such an innocent boy. The next night was Friday, and my dad never came home till very late on Friday. Saturday morning this week found my brother and me watching cartoons as usual, but with an ear out for whenever Dad got up. We wanted to hear the rest of the werewolf story. Dad wasn't up till around 1, and then he immediately plopped himself, beer in hand, in front of our old black-and-white cathode ray TV set to watch baseball. I almost said Yankee baseball, but I think in those days Dad actually briefly preferred the Mets. A commercial came on for Fisher beer. Did you know that Fisher is the one beer to have when you're having more than one? Every kid from my generation in New York knew that. You're basically saying, if you want to really tie one on, drink or fish. We're cheap and have a high alcohol content. What an awesome advertising campaign. Anyway, when the commercial came on, my brother and I badgered Dad to tell us about the werewolf and what had happened. Dad had not really woken up, and he had not eaten any breakfast, and now he was drinking a beer. So we had to ask him a few times before I think he had any idea that there was someone talking to him, let alone that there might be meaning in the sounds these short people were uttering. But once we had established contact with Planet Dad, the entire answer we got from him was, oh yeah, got it taken care of. Of course, we pressed him for more information, but this angered the half-sleeping zombie version of Dad, who just wanted beer and black and white baseball. Our mother heard Dad growling and shouted at us to go outside and play and leave our father alone. We hated to hear that on Saturday because the best TV shows used to be on that day. But we went out and talked to all the neighbor kids about our father's werewolf until dusk. In those days, we lived in what is now called the West Village, but back then was just Greenwich Village. A bunch of us kids had been walking west, talking over and over about the werewolf and what it might have been, but as the sun set, we walked back east because we knew it was dinner time in all our homes. Suddenly, we heard a howl echo, and at first we laughed and looked around for who was making werewolf noises. One of the other kids noticed him first and pointed him out to the rest of us. There was a man, wearing what I at first thought was a Batman mask, crouching on top of a walkway connecting two old factory buildings. I can't recall if the buildings still stand, but if they do, they would be in the area where the High Line Park is now. It connected, I think, the third floor of one building with the fourth floor of another if you walked inside it. This pointy-eared man was on top of the covered walkway outside of it. I couldn't even figure out how he got there. Did he climb up? Did he jump down from one of the rooftops? Then, the most amazing thing I ever saw happened. The guy jumped off the third-story walkway. He seemed to be jumping down to chase us, so we all screamed and ran. I have no idea if this guy broke both legs when he landed, or if he actually chased us, and none of my friends knew either. We were all too scared to look behind us until we got to our respective homes. Once inside, my brother and I compared notes. I didn't remember if he was wearing any clothes, but my brother got the impression he was dressed all in black. I remembered him having pointy ears on the top of his head, while my brother thought he must have been wearing one of those hippie jackets with the fringes on the sleeves, because when he jumped, it looked like he had long hair on his arms that blew back in the breeze. We both agreed that he appeared dark in the distance, and that he was definitely the source of the howling. That night at dinner, we pressed Dad for information, Was this werewolf dark-colored? Did it have pointed ears on top of its head? Did it howl? We got non-committal answers to all of these, but he gave me a sharp glance when I asked about the tall ears that gave me the impression he was saying yes to that one. We never told our parents what we saw, because they would have put more severe limits on our personal freedoms in response. And Dad never told us exactly what he did to get rid of the werewolf of the warehouse. If they had scared it out of the warehouse, it's not that unbelievable to think it might have taken up temporary residence on top of that walkway, only a neighborhood over from the meatpacking district. As far as my brother and I are concerned, to this very day, we both wonder if what we saw and heard that day on the west side of Manhattan was a genuine, full-blooded werewolf.
Number 2.
The Werewolf of Chappaqua, as told to Peter Bernard. Read by Jeff Nadolny. You've heard of Chappaqua, that famous little quiet little town whose population is rumored to be 50% lawyers and 50% Secret Service agents? I can guarantee you've never heard that there used to be reports of a werewolf in that town. But I am friends with a former police officer who worked the town, and he told me this story happened to a buddy of his. So, I know it has to be true. Now, my cop friend's buddy, let's call him Officer Joe for the sake of the story, he and his partner, who we will call Officer Jill, got dispatched to a residence of a town resident who was claiming he saw a dog-headed man or a naked man in a dog mask running around the forest, and was concerned that it might be a security risk. Another possibility that occurred to both officers is that it could be a drunk or a crank. When they reached the address, the gentleman was waiting out front to meet them. He was middle-aged but fit, dark eyes with sandy blonde short hair, thick black glasses, a navy Brooke Brothers pullover sweater, and khaki Dockers. He wasn't staggering, and his eyes appeared alert. "Seems sane so far," commented Officer Jill under her breath. "You stay in the car and monitor the surroundings," Officer Joe told her as he exited the vehicle, adding, "I'll notify you immediately if I need backup." The gentleman who had made the call pointed out to Joe where he had seen the creature, but told him it was only the most recent time he had witnessed such a thing. "I can show you where they come from," he said in a bored fashion. "It's a 2-minute walk into the woods." He pointed the direction. "Just how many people are running around with dog masks on?" asked the officer, trying to keep a straight face. "If that's what they are," answered the gentleman, adding, "I honestly don't know what they are. All I know is the neighborhood pets are vanishing one by one, and some of us with small children are worried about what comes next." Officer Joe had a 2-year-old boy who had recently gotten his first puppy. The smirk left his face, and he asked the gentleman to please lead him to the spot where he thought these troublemakers were located. Already he began wondering if it were a satanic cult. He radioed in to Jill that he was going to investigate the woods and to be on full alert for anything strange. The gentleman was very cordial and entertaining, as well as surprisingly athletic. There were sudden small valleys that the officer nearly fell into that the local gentleman took in a few leaps. The entire time he was informing Officer Joe of the history of the area. Did you know that this neighborhood was once the farm of Horace Greeley? Asked the gentleman. Officer Joe was surprised by the question and had to stop to think if he knew that. He was familiar with the Horace Greeley Museum and much trivia about the gentleman, but he informed the man that he was not sure if he knew that or not. Well, it's true, said the gentleman. Old Horace Greeley owned all this land, down to the end of the block my house is on. Through this area we are walking through, and halfway through what is now the forest. Do you hear the waterfall? The officer listened. He was not sure if he heard the waterfall, and informed the gentleman he did not know. Oh, well, when you can hear it, let me know, said the man. I've got an interesting story to tell you about it. The officer tried to get back to the reason he was out here. Tell me what this creature or creatures you claim to have seen look like, he demanded. Well, said the gentleman, picture a really big wolf, right? A huge wolf with a scary mean attitude and an ugly bloody face. Then picture it walking on its two hind legs, running faster than any man could, carrying some small dead animal away with it. If you can visualize that, then you can imagine what I've seen wandering around these woods. I can hear it, said Officer Joe. The gentleman looked confused. I can hear the waterfall, explained the officer.
Oh, answered the gentleman, chuckling. We're nearly there now. The waterfall was built by Horace Greeley's men. It was part of the way they irrigated the farm. There is a line of trees a ways over planted by them as well to serve a windscreen and prevent seeds from blowing off the land during planting season. They completely altered the landscape to suit their purposes. Officer Joe was getting a weird feeling. Sir, are you going to show me something soon, or are we on our first date here? The gentleman said they had reached their destination. The wolfmen were living in an almost impossible-to-see artificial cavity behind the waterfall, down this very steep drop in front of them. I was going to offer you my hand on the way down, so you didn't fall, officer, said the gentleman. But after your date comment, I think I'll let you make your own climb down. The gentleman was on the bottom gracefully in a second or two, while Officer Joe had a bit of trouble with his descent in the darkness. Once down, he looked around the cavity he was in and could not see the gentleman anywhere. Reasoning that he might have entered this artificial cave he had mentioned, the officer cautiously approached the waterfall. The sound of a waterfall is nature's white noise. It can block out many other sounds, and it naturally creates a peaceful feeling in most of us. For a few seconds approaching the waterfall, this white noise was all the officer heard. And then a growling began. It was a low, guttural growling, and in spite of all his years of training, this sound elicited an immediate fear reaction in Joe. He had to brace himself and rethink his actions. Was now the time to call for backup if he was about to encounter a coven of Satanists? He would not be able to beat them all with one firearm. Then he saw it. It was a leg, a brown, fur-covered leg. Not a human leg. He saw some kind of animal leg coming out from behind the waterfall. Suddenly, he didn't think he was facing a group of Satanists. Suddenly, he felt he was just facing one eccentric gentleman who had made the call. He must have had slipped down into the secret room and changed into his wolfman costume, and now was going to earn himself at least one night in jail. The leg moved a bit further out, and the officer could see that it looked like it had a hoof on it.
like a deer-like. This guy must be a furry. He didn't even know a wolf leg from a deer leg? Come on out, sir. I see you there. May I remind you I have a firearm, and as an officer of the law, I'm allowed to shoot you if you do not follow my instructions. From behind the waterfall came laughing, something like what laughing might sound like in hell. Joe rolled his eyes at the theatrics. He decided to humor the perpetrator. All right, werewolf of Chappaqua, I've got you cornered. You have no choice but to come out and give yourself in, stated the officer loudly. From behind the waterfall came a sickly sounding reply.
I am not the werewolf of Chappaqua, officer.
From behind the waterfall emerged a walking nightmare. Far taller than the officer, it stood impossibly on two deer-like hind legs, had claws hanging in the front, and a horse-like head that drooled a thick pus.
No, officer. I'm not the werewolf of Chappaqua.
Still to come this month, Man Wolf of the Woods, Wolfman on the Golf Course, Dogman Broke Up My Marriage, plus Madeline Star Returns.
Thanks to YouTuber Jeff Nadolny, who read The Werewolf of Chappaqua story. Please check out Jeff's new up-and-coming Scary Stories channel, which we link to in the details section. If you like his videos, please consider subscribing. Really helps out when you do.
And if there's anyone out there who can't get enough of PQ River, search in your favorite search engine for PQ River, and you'll find plenty of podcasts, music, and weirdness.
Check us out on our YouTube channel, Scary Stories NYC. Bigfoot Attacked My Tiny House. Scary Stories by Peter Bernard, Volume 1. Now available on Amazon in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook versions. Narrated by PQ Ribber and me, Madeline Starr. Foreword by TV's famous Timothy Green Beckley, better known as Mr. UFO.
Come back for more scary stories.